The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
Now, if you're wondering where the Gaelic football is tonight, we did it last night with David Brady and Mark O'Shea, and it is available as a podcast if you want to catch up with their opinions about the Kerry Cork game and the Derry Donegal match and Mayo Down and Roscommon, and also what Charlotte Burns was saying about the GAA season and the possibility of moving the All-Ireland finals back to September, which is something I'm going to have to ask John McIntyre, Seamus Hickey and James E. O'Connor about as we discuss this year's All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship, which throws in this weekend. Jamesy, would it be a good idea, do you think? Would you like to see the Intercounty Hurling Championship season later and running into September?
I think we could certainly shove it back into August, Matt. There's no doubt about it. There, I think, a huge potential from a coverage, a promotional perspective that's been lost in terms of, you know, we're done now in July. That's it. And, you know, to be honest about it, the club championships don't really start in earnest, I think, until September. And you know, you still have the same problem that county finals being played maybe towards the latter part of the year and so on. So I see that the benefits, obviously, of the split season. I mean, I don't think there's any going back. I think the genie's out of that bottle now. But I don't see any reason why we couldn't move the calendar a bit further forward and, you know, get those All-Ireland finals played, you know, certainly the middle of August. And that, I think, is, I just think the opportunity, you pick up the sports pages, Matt, in August, and this whole GA, and, you know, we've completely handed that space over to soccer, to rugby, and other sports. And I think that's an opportunity maybe potentially lost.
And indeed, John McIntyre may be fighting for attention this weekend at the tail end of the Premiership football season and other things going on. I mean, is it right that we have so many good hurling fixtures in the Munster and Leinster Championships running simultaneously with the football matches on this weekend, and it only being just past the middle of April?
Frankly, Matt, it's not. And I firmly believe the All-Ireland Championships have to go back to September. I was in favour of the split season just to see how it worked. I think there's a lot of issues, not least what James has referenced in relation to the marketing, the opportunity that the GAA are losing from the end of July onwards. But for it to revert the way it used to be, Matt, inter-county team managers are going to have to be compromised by the GAA at a higher level. What I would love to see, the All-Ireland's back in September, 2 weeks in April, 2 weeks in May, and 2 weeks in June, reserved exclusively for club championship matches up and down the country, and inter-county managers would have no access to their players, and for it to be absolutely rigidly implemented, or else it simply wouldn't work.
And Seamus Hickey, what about as well, you know, the demands on the players playing week after week with maybe one break and then back for another couple of weeks for successive games? Would there be an idea maybe if you do have to start this early in the year, maybe one weekend for Gaelic football, the next for hurling, the next again for Gaelic football, to give people a chance to see more of the matches than they can with this congested fixture list?
So that for me is the major problem, Matt, is this congestion, the feeling of this mad sprint from April to July, and a kind of an unsatisfying feeling in July of, oh, it's all done. So, you know, I think, listen, from a player's perspective, still playing club hurling, the split season is an absolute gift. It's absolutely fantastic. We're playing league fixtures that are meaningful at this time of the year. These games are, you know, huge for development of younger players trying to come on from under 20 squads onto their club senior teams. You know, the club player feels like they have control over their calendar, their agenda, their lives. You know, it's a really, really good thing. I think for the county players as well, they're able to give their full attention without any guilt or you know, even split attention for club and county. I think the split season works. The alternating club and hurling and football, I think, you know, for people watching, I think it's a good thing as well. They're going to see more of the quality games that they love. So there's a lot of positives. Like Jamesy, I'd love to see the split season held and just pushed into August to spread out the season a bit more and give more of that opportunity for that football hurling dynamic to develop during the summer.
Do you expect to be back in Croke Park in July cheering on Limerick to winning the five in a row, Seamus?
Well, I'd be a poor Limerick man if I said otherwise. I absolutely think that they're good enough. I think there's nothing that has happened to change my mind. Their league campaign was strong. The league semi-final was, by you know, for me, a blessing for the run into the Munster Championship and how hard that's going to be. Nobody's happy about the goals they conceded against Kilkenny. But at the same time, I think between the circumstances and the personnel that day, I don't think there's going to be any panic. And the performances before that were very strong. But after unearthing a lot of good players.
If you were to lose in Cusack Park and Ennis on Sunday, will that suddenly start alarm bells ringing?
Well, I know for a fact that this time last year there was alarm bells ringing after the first round against Waterford, and they only crept over by 2 points. And at the end of the year, they were All-Ireland champions. So, you know, it's a difficult championship, the Munster Championship, because when I look at the last weekend of the Munster Championship last year, Cork were one score from going through to a Munster final instead of elimination, and Tipperary squeaked through after a horrendous result against Waterford. So, like, there's pressure on everybody every weekend because they can't afford a slip-up. So the first weekend or the last weekend or the middle weekend, there's always pressure.
See, there's some commentary, Jamesy, that the way to take Limerick out in their bid for the five in a row is to do it in Munster, which means they're going to have to be beaten at least twice in Munster to knock them out of the top three qualifying. Is that really realistic? Can that happen in Munster, do you think, Jamesy?
It could, Matt. I mean, listen, there's no doubt about it. Like, you know, every team in Munster, like they did last year, would be having a go. I mean, Waterford really rattled them on day one. We know that Clare beat them. There was only a point in the Cork game, and obviously the Tip game, you know, was a draw. I think went down to the wire. So look, at Limerick themselves know that you know what's ahead of them, and I think, you know, John Kiely has picked the strongest team available. He's rolling out all his heavy artillery. They're all, you know, pretty much anybody who's would be expected to be a first choice starter, I suppose, with the exception of Sean Finney, who's coming back from that crucial injury, is named. And you know, with Tip coming fresh into the Gaelic grounds, you know, next weekend, I think Limerick will have targeted this game. And Clare potentially, you know, are seen as a team that, you know, can stand toe to toe with Limerick. And Limerick would love nothing more than to put a major hole in Clare's chances by taking them out in Ennis. And Clare obviously having then to go to Páirceachaoin next weekend. So it's a massive game, Matt. I mean, tickets, it's the hottest ticket in town anywhere in the country this weekend. I haven't seen anything like this for the first round of a championship in years, if not decades. And there's huge excitement and interest around, coupled in Clare with a little bit of trepidation given the strong team that Kiely has named.
Indeed. So, John McIntyre, given that Clare will not want to have lost the game before going down to Páirceachaoin next week, what do you give for their chances, particularly when you see that the likes of Tony Kelly is on the bench and Shane O'Donnell?
Yeah, I understand about Tony Kelly being on the bench because he hasn't played a competitive match this year. He had an operation on his ankle. So that's, I think, good management, and to bring him on if the need arises. Shane O'Donnell, I think, is slightly different. He did come on in the league final, and he certainly made a difference. I would have assumed he would be starting on Sunday.
And maybe he will.
Yeah, it's arguable, but in fairness, without Tony Kelly, I think a number of the other Clare forwards have stepped up, not least Aidan McCarthy in the league final, scored two screamers of goal, scored 10 points, his free taken was excellent on an evening when Billy Drennan, who took over that role for Kilkenny in the absence of hamstring victim TJ Reid, was flawed. And I mean, you have David Fitzgerald confirming his great form in the league, arguably the player of the competition. And Adam Hogan typified Clare's resolution in defence. It was absolutely critical, though, Matt, that Clare won some silverware, because rightly or wrongly, they're perceived as the second best team in the country, but they had nothing to show for it over the past 2 years, apart from being involved in two epic Munster finals with Limerick. So that's a little bit of a monkey off their back. I think it'll help to liberate them somewhat. But as Jamesy has outlined, Limerick are going to come down to Ennis. You know, regardless of Limerick's dominance of hurling over the past 5 or 6 years, there's a traditional rivalry there anyway. So there's going to be skin and hair flying, and whichever team loses is immediately under pressure, because the Munster Championship is just a bear pit.
It is. And then we have Seamus in Walsh Park at 4 o'clock after the dust settles in Cusack Park. Waterford taking on Cork, and Waterford, a team for whom the expectations have dropped dramatically. But how helpful do you think might that be to Davy Fitz?
So I think there's a couple of things working in Waterford's favour. You know, last year at the end of the Munster Championship, there really was, it was show us something, because they were really disappointing for the rest of the Championship. And I think they did. And I really think it was the players that dug it out. I don't think Davy could have been blamed for the end of last year if it had gone any other way. I think the players showed something. In the league this year, if you look at every single one of their games, it was a close run encounter. Lost by a point, lost by a point, lost by 2 points. And unfortunately, in the year that it is, they find themselves now in Division 1B. But the results are not as bad as the wider picture can be painted. I think there's something in Waterford. I think Walsh Park, they do want to generate some interest in the public there. That has actually been well documented, the low attendances there. And I think they will show something at the weekend. The problem is, they're coming up against a Cork team, I think, who are very, very well positioned.
Why do you think they're well positioned, Seamus?
I think, again, if you look back at last year, Cork were literally a single point away from a very different year. And a puck of a ball in the Gaelic grounds against Limerick between a very, very different trajectory in last year's All-Ireland series if they could have gotten through. This year, I think Pat Ryan's got a good tune out of him in the league. I think he's tried a huge amount of combinations. So many different combinations of players. Last year, he was doing it because he was stuck with a horrendous injury list. This year, it seems to be more calculated, giving guys time. Mark Coleman is back. I'm really glad to see him. What I really think is a super strong half-back line himself, Joyce and Downey. I think it's a very, very strong half-back line. It's going to be difficult for Waterford to break that down. And you've even got the likes of Jack O'Connor on the bench with, you know, Luke Mead and Robbie O'Flynn. You know, I think their bench is extremely strong, and I think they can mix and match to the need. So I think they're primed, and I think they've got a really good mix of youth and experience there.
It was interesting, John McIntyre, that Pat Ryan has been talking about two things in particular, wanting more scores from his half-back line, a half-back line that's just been referred to by Seamus, but also the need in the modern game to get goals. And something for a long period, Cork weren't getting enough goals. Do you agree with him that actually teams should be targeting, if they can't score 30 points, that they should be looking to get maybe 3 or 4 goals in a game to make up for that?
Well, they have no option, Matt. And, you know, Cork have been very pleasing on the eye over the past 5 or 6 years. But as we've spoken about in the past, they're experiencing a historical championship famine. And every year that passes, Matt, that extends, it puts more and more pressure on the current generation of players in the Cork jerseys. Pat Ryan was quoted during the week that he would bite your hand off if Cork finished third in the Munster Championship, because it means it extends their season. And after that, if Cork can get through the province, Matt, they are dangerous because they can gain confidence out of nowhere. It's great to see Mark Coleman back. Dara Fitzgibbon is a key player for them. Pat Horgan is still assembling a lot of scores. But unfortunately, do they carry the goal threat that other teams do? But I still expect them to win in Walsh Park, Matt. It was disappointing to see Waterford GAA officials calling on the Waterford supporters to turn up on Sunday at a venue that only has a capacity of 14,000. And from what I'm hearing down there, a lot of the locals have switched off supporting the team because of their tactics. Like, you'd often see Waterford trading by 6 or 7 pints, and they're slavishly loyal to the sweeper system. And supporters, I think, are voting with their feet. And to be honest, Matt, if things went very badly for Waterford at the weekend, I could see Davy Fitzgerald's position coming under serious pressure immediately.
Okay, very briefly, Jamesy, it's not as exciting in Leinster. You've got, I suppose, one standout game, Wexford against Dublin, which many people would see as the battle for third. Is that the way of looking at it?
I think, yeah, you have to look at it that way based on, you know, Kilkenny obviously in Galway would be expected to contest the Leinster final and expected to, you know, to be the top two. For both Wexford and Dublin, it's a game with serious repercussions. The losers are on the back foot under pressure. And Dublin certainly, I think, play Galway in their last game, and they won't want to win to that fixture, having to get a win. Based on what we've seen so far, Matt, a much more positive league campaign for Wexford under Keith Rossiter. They're really competitive, drew a clear player, Drua Kilkenny, blooded some new players, brought in some of those 20s, and I liked a lot of what I saw. And Rory O'Connor, who, you know, has probably been their best forward, you know, the guy that probably they depend on to an extent up front, he's back, he's named in starting 15. And you know, Dublin, given the players they've lost over the last, you know, the last 18 months or so, I think home advantage should swing it for Wexford.
Thank you so much, James C. O'Connor, Seamus Hickey and John McIntyre.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.